Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. We are presented each day by CC Power Sports. And you know what Thursdays means? It means Lee Kelly is in studio with me. And Lee, you're going to be putting in a lot of time today for a retired radio broadcaster. You are with me today for this hour for the Hoosier Report. And then tonight, we're at Zaxby's in New Albany for our high school basketball media day that we started with the football season. We've always done a tip-off, a media day show, but we tried to take it up a level, starting with football this past fall by partnering with our great friends at the News and Tribune to kind of make it media day. We invite some TV stations to join us for bits and pieces. The News and Tribune folks are there as well. You and I are on the radio, and we get every coach from Clark and Floyd County together at some point tonight, and we're going to get most, if not all, of the top players tonight as well. So this is really, for us, the opportunity, and for you, the listener, to learn a lot about the upcoming season. We're going to ask each coach about practice this week, how things have went as far as shaping up their team, and of course, scrimmages are just around the corner. Some really exciting games are not too far off to open up the season. And so I look forward to this show today with you now, but I also look forward to 2019 Clark and Floyd County High School Basketball Media Day. Zaxby's in New Albany, and we've extended it this year. We're going a little bit longer with each team, and we've got some pre and post stuff that we're going to do as well. It's a three-hour marathon-like show. Lee Kelly, are you ready?
Past my bedtime when we get finished, but other than that, we're doing well. You know, I was looking at the coaches, and most of them are familiar faces that we've talked to every year, either in the preview show at the start of the year or during the season. We talk to them about upcoming games and players and so on. So just a couple of new faces that we'll be seeing for the first time. New to me. I think you've known these people for a while, but and just looking forward to it. It's always exciting. The start of a new season, new names that we'll be reading about that are scoring points and having big games defensively. It's just an exciting time of the year.
You know, you mentioned some new coaches, and there are a handful of new faces this year. Ryan Miller at Providence, although he's really a familiar face with basketball in this area, even at Providence as a former assistant coach as well. Moving down the list, obviously the big surprise, the unexpected opening is at Jeffersonville, where Chris Moore is obviously taking over in placement of Joe Luce. And so those guys will be there tonight. But we always talk about the top players in the area, and I'm going to hit that again here in just a second as we think about who's going to be with us tonight. But these coaches, and in fact, one coach, when I sent the list out and said, hey, here are the times, want to make sure this works for you, they said, just cover up the schools and everything else and just look at the coaches and think about what some of these guys have been able to accomplish at their respective schools. And I think that underscores why the area is what it is. Yes, the players make the games. Yes, the history and tradition and some of the gyms make basketball in this area so special in the upcoming months. But we have a number of coaches that you could consider deans of the coaching world here in the area, and you've got some that maybe are entering the middle part of their career, we could call it, or maybe they've made some big leeway. They've taken some steps forward with their respective program, and they're kind of coaches on the rise, you could say. So a really good mix of coaches in the area, and that's something that I think on this show, in the media in general, I know parents don't give coaches enough credit in general, and really I think are forgotten at times what a great class of coaches we have in this area. Even some of the young guys that are just taking over programs, they do a really good job. They're in it for the right reasons. They work really hard, and coaching has become really a year-round deal now. I mean, we talk about high school leagues in June and off-season workouts, and yes, practice started officially on Monday, and that's kind of the signal that the season is here and when it's really time to dig in with your team and get ready for the year. But these guys, in most cases, have been going the limit of 2 days, 4 hours a week now since school got back in session. So I'm excited to be with you tonight. Top players, we expect to have most, if not all, of the top guys in the area. And I'm excited as well because Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville, he's going to make his college decision at Jeffersonville High School coming up later this afternoon. And we'll be able to talk with Mr. Coleman tonight when we talk with Coach Moore and about the Red Devils. We'll be able to talk with Trey about his college destination, which we're going to find out later this afternoon.
Looking forward to it. You know, it has changed so much when I think back to not necessarily my high school years, but even after that, you had the tryouts, and you didn't you couldn't work with the kids, you couldn't see the kids, you couldn't coach the kids in the fall of the year, summertime. I think there were open gyms maybe, but you had tryouts, and you wondered who's going to make the team, and there were always surprises. Kids that you thought were going to make the team as a freshman or a sophomore didn't make the team. The numbers crunch got to them. Today, that's really not. Matter of fact, I had a coach tell me one time he was upset because so many people came out to try out because they should know whether they were good enough to play on his team or not. But things have changed through the years. I'm not saying it's better or worse. It's just different in that I miss that not knowing and watching the kids just bust their butt in tryouts, trying to impress the coach during that week or four-day time that they had.
Yeah, things have completely changed. So join us tonight. Lee and I will be at Zaxby's live from 6 to 9, and you can join us live in studio. We'd love for you to have dinner and support your favorite team and check out the coaches and players for this upcoming season. Of course, we'll be live on the radio. We'll also be available on streaming, and you can catch the show as a podcast if you're unable to make it to the program or unable to catch us live tonight between 6 and 9 p.m. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment 1, Lee and I will go through some of our Zaxby headlines for the day. We'll take a look at what's next for Indiana, some local college players that I mentioned earlier this week in action again last night, and some other topics that we'll cover in this first segment as well. Also, Segment 2 coming up later in the program, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with us. Always fun to talk IU basketball with him. And there's plenty to get to as it seems like it's game after game. We've got high school getting ready to start. IU, since they started, it seems like every couple days we've got a game going, and that's the case again coming up here very soon this weekend. So we'll talk about that with Alex. Recruiting and a lot more with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall coming up later today. Following that in the program, Lee and I will talk more about tonight's show. We'll talk more about some local headlines and wrap things up later in the hour. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Love for you to interact with the show. We're always talking about lots of happenings both locally and with Indiana. Love to get your comment or question. Couple ways you can get it to us. Might get read on the air. You can tweet me at Hoosier Hills and follow me there as well. Again, at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. Send me your question, your comment, your thoughts on the Hoosiers, your thoughts on Romeo, what you're excited about with the high school season, whatever it may be. We'll try to work it into the program. Also on Facebook, you can follow the show. We have a page by searching the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on Facebook. You can like us and then you can leave us a message there and perhaps your question or comment will get read on the air today. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And again, a reminder that we will be at the New Albany location tonight for our high school basketball media day for Clark and Floyd County teams. Let's start off with Romeo Langford, Lee, just before we came on the air. Now he has been assigned again to the main Red Claws of the G League. No surprise there. He went down, played a game. I don't know if he would have come back up immediately or not had Gordon Hayward been injured with a wrist and going to be out, it looks like, for 6-7 weeks. He did practice along with some other young Celtics. He practiced with them once this week. They actually have to assign him down and assign him back up to make it all official. He practiced with the Red Claws one day this week, as did some other Celtics, went back to the Celtics, and now it's been noted that he's assigned to the Red Claws again this week. And you and I were talking about it, Lee, before we came on the air. And Maine and the G League teams, they don't play a terrible amount of games, really one or two games a week for the most part, and that G League season really just officially began last weekend. So going to be interesting to see if he goes up and down a lot or if this is going to be maybe him going back for the weekends to play and then returning with the Celtics during the week. But clearly he's going to bounce around a little bit, it looks like, for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. The young man missed a lot of time that others on the roster were able to get minutes to be seen by the coaches, to get their basketball legs under them. He's got some time to make up. And I don't know how much the teams practice in between games. This week, I think the Celtics played on like Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, something like that. I don't know if they work during their off day or if that's a travel day or some combination thereof. So I don't know how much Romeo would be practicing with the team when he's with Boston, traveling with them, but not necessarily practicing with them. But looking at Maine's schedule, they have a game on Friday night and on Sunday and then next Wednesday. So now that they're into the season, they're playing more than I saw when I first looked at that schedule. So it'll be interesting to see. Again, Friday night, Sunday, Wednesday, and then next Saturday. So they do have quite a few games coming up here, the main Red Claws we're talking about, that Romeo could play in.
And again, he really has not missed a game. They played Saturday. That was their season opener when Romeo had the big performance that excited everybody. And then since that time, no games for the Red Claws. They're back this Friday, so it looks like he will be able to join them in time for that contest. So we'll see if Romeo can continue to build confidence, to get healthy, and hopefully put up some big numbers as he did in that outing last Saturday as he gets ready to debut, we think, at some point officially for the Celtics and get some opportunities for minutes and so forth. Let's take a look at some college basketball happenings last night. Big Ten teams in action. I thought Ohio State, Lee, I don't know if you had a chance to watch that game or not, thought they looked really good. They dismantled Villanova 76-51, the final score in that game last night. Wisconsin, after a shaky loss earlier in the year to St. Mary, they rebounded last night. They were winners over McNeese State by 20 points, 83-63. Rutgers wins over Drexel last night by 5 points. Marquette and Purdue, it was quite a game. Marquette down early, made a storming, I don't want to say comeback. It never was really out of hand. It was a 7-8-9 point game, it seemed like, for a lot of it, but made a nice run at the end, and they go on to win by 10 at home and beat Purdue. And Purdue has had some tough games here recently, on the road at Marquette, Texas at home, some very big games for them here in the month of November. Northwestern also with a nice win, 72-63 last night. Some of those games I mentioned, Ohio State, Purdue, and Northwestern, those were all part of the Gavitt tip-off games, which are a lot of fun each year, this time of year, to kind of get the season underway.
Yeah, Ohio State, their guard play, I saw them early in the first half, their guard play was outstanding. I mean, they move the ball well. They've got shooters. The guys are quick on both ends of the court. I was very impressed with Ohio State overall, especially their guard play, and amazing. Purdue, we knew they would miss Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein. They do miss Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein, maybe more than we thought they would. They are playing a tough schedule, but somebody's going to have to step up for them and provide those points and leadership from last year.
And a couple notes back to Ohio State for a minute. Of course, Caleb Wesson is just terrific. They're 6'9", big man, a junior. Obviously, he's lost a ton of weight or a lot of weight in the offseason, and he looks more and more like a guy that we're going to see in the NBA very soon. And then Carson Edwards, speaking of Purdue, I think you mentioned he had a big game last night, played some key minutes, scored some points for Boston. So interesting to see him in his rookie year. I think maybe some people thought the roles would be reversed. Carson Edwards would be going up and down between the G League team, and Romeo would get some of those minutes. But again, I think we have to write a lot of that off on Romeo's injuries and things that bothered him along the way to the official start of the NBA season. But again, Edwards last night for Boston, a good outing for him as a rookie. There's no question about that. Also, in college basketball last night, Louisville was a winner last night. And they played Indiana State. And, of course, Indiana State, lots of pressure going into that game after Evansville won at Kentucky the night before. Could teams from Indiana on back-to-back nights knock off power programs that are obviously highly ranked and highly thought of? Indiana State did not come that close, although they cut it to, what was it,
11
in the second half after trailing by 20-plus points at halftime. Last night in the game, two local players, pretty cool to see Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central out there. He got 12 minutes. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that at all as a freshman. Lots of good words from him out of Terre Haute and what he could mean to this Indiana State program moving forward. In those 12 minutes, he scored 6 points. And
he had two threes.
So
a
nice performance for him. Bronson Kessinger of Cordon, 4 points in 16 minutes. He's somebody that had some tough injuries at the start of his college career, but seeing a lot more minutes and much more of a role now for Indiana State in their loss last night at Louisville. Other things, Lee Kelly, as we look across the area, signing day and signing period had started as of earlier this week, and I saw yesterday up at Culver Academies, Trey Galloway in his, I'll call it a paramilitary-like uniform that they wear at Culver Academies at the table, officially making it set with Indiana basketball for next season. Of course, the traditional family photos, obviously his dad is an employee at Culver Academies and is the men's basketball coach there. Likewise, at Bloomington South, Anthony Leal, he made it official for Indiana to be a Hoosier next season. Kind of interesting to see how different schools do signing day activities. I saw at Bloomington South, they had a long table set up with a nice placard for each kid and what sport and what school they were going to. And it was kind of like they signed it together. Pretty neat deal there. And Anthony Leal obviously was one of the featured players there at Bloomington South to sign a scholarship with Indiana. But good to see both of those guys inked. I did not see anything with Jordan Geronimo. I'm sure it's either already happened or just a matter of time until they have their signing deal at his prep school up east. But again, that is where things stand. And of course, there's a big potential recruit by the name of Dawson Garcia that still hangs out there for Indiana. And his decision could be, I think, expected anytime this weekend or into next week as well, that we could find out officially where he's going to go. So plenty of stuff going on right now. Great to see college basketball back. I enjoyed flipping through. I really like those Gavitt games. I really like the ACC Big Ten Challenge games, which those are exciting because they're still forthcoming here in a few weeks. And just good Big Ten games, seeing how the Big Ten stacks up against the rest of college basketball at this early point of the season. When Indiana's not playing and there's not something else to do, that's kind of my fun thing for this time of year. It's just to watch Big Ten teams. Obviously, if they're playing against a lower-level team, you don't learn as much normally, but it's very interesting to see where this conference is at. Some big wins last night. There have been some kind of odd losses up to that point, I thought. So still a Big Ten that I think the jury is still out on as we look ahead to some future opponents for Indiana.
I agree. First of all, I miss Zion. I enjoyed watching that young man play last year with a lot of energy, that great smile that he's got. I haven't found anybody at this point that makes me want to look through the TV listings to see when they play again. But there are some names that are beginning to come out that were high school stars and beginning to have great college careers right off the bat. Young man down in North Carolina whose dad played in the NBA. I think his last name is Anthony. I think it's Greg Anthony's son. 20-something points a game he's averaging early on. Have not seen the young man play, but it's just there's something about finding young men. Trey Young the year before, just it was fun to watch him play, and there will be players that jump up this year, obviously. Louisville has a couple of young men that I enjoy watching play, and Louisville's got a couple of guys that are still out injured that their bench is going to get longer when they return from injuries. And so it's going to be interesting to watch how Michigan State plays as the season goes on. Tom Izzo, I don't think, puts a whole lot of interest in what happens early in the season. Tries to have his team playing their best ball late in the year. A lot of other schools the same way. So we'll see how it all plays out. But like you, I wear that remote control out following through all of these channels that are available with college basketball.
Yeah, fun time of year, no question about it. We'll head to a commercial break, come back and talk more IU and Big Ten with Alex Bozich. This first segment is our Zaxby's Headlines, brought to us each day by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Zaxby's is the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. And don't forget, we'll be at Zaxby's tonight in New Albany, right by Charlestown Road, I-265, for 2019 High School Basketball Media Day, brought to you by the Big X, brought to you by the News and Tribune, and of course, the great people at Zaxby's as well. We'll head to a break. Alex Bozich is next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins Lee Kelly and I Thursdays on the Hoosier Report, presented by CC Power Sports, as we talk IU basketball and a lot more with Alex this time of year. And Alex, Lee and I spent some time in the first segment talking about how thankful we are that college basketball is back, and talking about Purdue's game last night, talking about how good Ohio State looked in general as well last night. I'm curious, there have been some big wins for the Big Ten. I thought one was last night with Ohio State pretty much dismantling Villanova. There have been some interesting games, too, where Big Ten teams haven't fared well, even against some lower-level Division I or mid-level Division I teams. I'm curious your early thoughts on the Big Ten Conference. I know there are still some big games ahead, but what have you seen? What have you liked so far? Maybe what has concerned you so far about the conference?
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to kind of get carried away early in the season and make grand proclamations. But I will say so far, other than Ohio State, I haven't really been too impressed with much else in terms of the Big Ten. I mean, Northwestern obviously had a pretty good win last night, but they also had a horrible loss in the season, their season opener. Nebraska has been really bad, and Minnesota went on the road and lost to Butler. Indiana, of course, well, I'm sure we'll talk a lot about them, hasn't really played anybody yet. Illinois got shellacked on the road at Arizona and needed overtime, I think, to win its season opener. It's early, but I would say the Big Ten's results so far against, you know, the other power. You know, there's six what I would consider power conferences. So against the other Power Five schools so far, Indiana has not been, the Big Ten has not been impressive. And people are probably sitting there thinking, you know, why does this matter? Well, once we get into Big Ten play, if the league didn't perform well in non-conference play, it's going to diminish the opportunities to get wins that will matter for Indiana and for other schools that are expected to be in the middle of the pack of the league. Because, you know, if you're playing Nebraska twice, or you're playing Northwestern twice, or you're playing, you know, all these different schools that aren't necessarily predicted to be that good, you may beat them, but those wins aren't going to really mean much. And last year's Big Ten race was a lot different in that, you know, you had seven or eight pretty good teams in the conference, and there was a lot of chances to get wins that would carry some weight. And from an IU-specific lens, kind of looking at this, you know, this first month, I mean, I think we can all admit that these seven games that Indiana's playing in November aren't really going to mean much in terms of their tournament resume. There'll be wins on the resume, hopefully, as long as they take care of business. But Indiana is putting a lot of pressure on those four non-conference games that it has coming up in December. Florida State, UConn, which UConn had a really bad loss last night, so I don't know how good they're going to be. Notre Dame and Indianapolis, and then Arkansas at home, which Arkansas has been pretty good so far. But, you know, Indiana's going to have to, you know, do really well in those games, I think, to have its non-conference mean anything come tournament selection time, and hope that some of these other Big Ten teams, as kind of the Gavitt Games wraps up tonight, and then the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and then we'll obviously have some other tournaments like Atlantis and Michigan State's in Maui, I think. I think Michigan's in Atlantis, and there's some other tournaments that are going to be going around Thanksgiving. Indiana's got to hope for good performances for the Big Ten. I mean, you know, I know a lot of IU fans were probably happy to see Purdue lose to Marquette last night, but that's not necessarily a good thing for Indiana when Purdue's already lost two games against the Power Five schools it's played. So a little bit concerning, I think, overall. Important to kind of keep it in context and realize it's just been, you know, about 9 days now that the season's been underway. But so far, I think the Big Ten is not looking as strong as maybe we thought in the preseason.
Should we be concerned this early in the season about the number of Big Ten teams that will make it into the NCAA tournament come March, the way things are starting out? Or will a lot of this be forgiven if things turn around and they have pretty good seasons and good conference seasons, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, it's too hard to say. And another team I didn't mention was Iowa. I mean, they got crushed on the other night by DePaul, so that's another one that's kind of like, you know, it kind of raised some eyebrows. You know, I think a lot's going to depend on how good mid-major teams end up being, and also kind of how the rest of this non-conference plays out. But just kind of going back to what I said earlier about once you get into league play, it's important to have other good teams to beat. I mean, if you know, seven or eight of these teams aren't going to make the tournament, and Indiana gets into Big Ten play and all they beat is the teams that are at the bottom of the conference, you know, they could have 10 or 11 league wins and not beat anybody good. And that's kind of what I'm kind of, you know, circling back on for a lot of these teams that are going to be in the middle. You want as many non-conference wins as possible, especially against the top leagues around the country, because that just beefs up your numbers and, you know, the net rankings, the Pomeroy ratings, the Sagarin ratings. And if your conference is only the, you know, fourth or fifth best in the country, which right now it looks kind of like the Big Ten's trending that way, and it's early again, I preface that. But, I don't know that you expect more than five, six teams to make the tournament if you're only the, you know, fourth or fifth best conference in the league. That's just reality right now as I see it. Now, there's a lot of time to turn things away around. It's not necessarily doom and gloom, but what I'm seeing so far doesn't suggest that it's going to be a year where the Big Ten is going to have, you know, seven or eight teams in the tournament. It's looking to me more like five or six this year.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. He's with us Thursdays as we talk IU basketball. Some good stuff there about the conference and really college basketball as a whole. Let's drill down now more to Indiana. A number of opportunities to see the Hoosiers. Still have not seen Devontae Green, and I don't think we've seen Rob Phinisee, the true Rob Phinisee, that he will be and can be when he's healthy. Lots of talk about defense or lack thereof, but lots of excitement, too, with some of the players on this roster. Maybe a overview of what you've seen and like and are concerned with this Indiana roster specifically so far.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly things to like so far. I think kind of at the top of the list for me, if you're looking at individuals, I would say Justin Smith, Al Durham, and Trace Jackson Davis have all been pretty good to varying degrees. I mean, Justin Smith was really good in the first two games, didn't do much of note last game, but, you know, he's going to have his games where he's, you know, 2-4 points. I mean, he He's a guy that kind of feeds off of getting kind of just energy plays and things in transition and things around the basket. And, you know, it was a more balanced game the other night for Indiana. 10 different guys, I think, scored. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. But to me, he just looks, you know, I don't think that his perimeter shot is ever going to be anything more than average at best. But as long as he sticks to his strengths, to me, he looks improved. Al Durham, I like just his assertiveness so far. His shot looks like it's gotten better. I mean, it got better, I thought, from high school to his freshman year. It's got better freshman to sophomore, and now sophomore to junior. To me, he's just a guy that is never going to be a superstar or anything, but he's a solid player, I think, that you can rely on. And then Trayce Jackson-Davis, to me, has been arguably maybe the most impressive guy on the team so far. Shot blocking has been good. I think a lot of times when Indiana's had him at the five, they've played their best. You know, we talked a lot in the preseason about having these bigger lineups, but you know, I've liked early in the season the lineups where they've had Justin Smith or Jerome Hunter at the four alongside Trayce at the five. Now, that's not going to work against, you know, some of the Big Ten teams that have bigger, stronger, older guys. It's going to be harder for Trayce to guard those guys. But he's, to me, been as good as advertised and maybe even a little bit better early in the season. In terms of things that had me concerned, you know, the prolonged absence here of Devontae Green I don't think is a good thing for this team. Just because, you know, these seven games are kind of your opportunity to get everybody acclimated to one another, get some experience. And Indiana's played three regular season games, two exhibitions, and he hasn't played in any of it. You know, it's not for necessarily going to be tough for him, but other guys are going to have to be, adjusted to playing with him that haven't done that before. So I think that's an issue. So hopefully he's able to get back here in the next couple of weeks at the latest, just to kind of get him up and running before the Florida State game, because they're definitely going to need him. The other thing, I was just saying, Archie Miller has pretty much alluded to this after the first three games. The defense is just not even close to where it needs to be. You look at what Indiana was doing defensively at the early in the season a year ago. You know, they didn't allow more than a point per possession to a team until they played Duke. This year, I'm not sure the exact numbers, but if they haven't allowed over a point per possession, it's been pretty close. I think they have at least in one game already. And the teams that they're playing aren't very good. So, you know, what I'm seeing is, and I've written this a couple times, is just the opponents right now are a lot more comfortable than they need to be offensively. Guys, and Archie said this, is, you know, guys can kind of just get wherever they want with the ball. You can't have that against good teams, because they will pick you apart. It starts on the perimeter. You got to be able to control the dribble and not let guys just get to spots wherever they want to be. And right now, Indiana's having a lot of problem with that. I think Devontae Green helps with that. You know, one thing I can see right away is, you know, as good as Armon Franklin's been early in the season, once Devontae's back, I think his minutes are going to go down significantly, because he's had some struggles so far defensively. Not his fault. He's a freshman just getting acclimated to the game, and he's been kind of put in a tough spot. But, you know, Rob Phinisee, I think, also getting back to 100% is going to be a big deal. But right now, defensively, Indiana's just got a long way to go. And I think for a team that's going to have to win primarily with its defense first, they've got, you know, less than 3 weeks now to make some big improvements, or they could have some tough wake-up calls when December rolls around.
As I look down at the last game, Alex, at the number of minutes by each player that they were on the floor, pretty balanced, really. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's hard to be that balanced, I would think, keeping players running in and out. But the one player that stands out to me is Deron Davis, with just 13 minutes on the floor in the last game. Should I read something into that he's injured, or it's just the way it happened to work out for that one game?
Yeah, the game before, I want to say he played even less than that. It's interesting, because 2 games ago was when Archie got the weird question about the load management stuff and kind of scoffed at the idea that, you know, you rest guys. You know, he basically said, you know, in college basketball, you play the minutes that you're able to play, and that's that. With Deron Davis, it's interesting because of all the injuries he's had, and I think while it's not, you never wanted to shut a guy down and rest him, which I don't, like Archie basically said he would never do. In the back of your mind, you have to think that, you know, right now they're, I wouldn't want to say managing his minutes, but they want to make sure he's healthy, I think, come conference play, because he's a guy that can give them some good minutes in the post against some of the Big Ten teams with bigger front lines. If nothing else, he's got five fouls to give on a given night if they need it. So, you know, some of these games have been a little bit more up and down than what we'll see in the Big Ten. You know, once everyone's scouted each other and you get into league play, you know, you're not running up and down like a glorified scrimmage like has been the case in a couple of these games so far. So I think once it becomes more of a half-court game, that's when a guy like Deron Davis and even Joey Brunk to some extent kind of fit in more. But Deron, you know, I thought he played decent enough last game. To me, he still doesn't look like he's in great shape. And he's in decent shape. I don't want to say he's out of shape, but I still think some conditioning stuff there. Maybe holding him back a little bit, but we'll see. I mean, you talk about the balanced minutes for everybody. I just don't think that's sustainable once you get into the meat of the schedule. I think, you know, as much as Archie's talked about, we have 11 guys that can play. I think when you get into, you know, these important non-conference games, you go with 7, 8, maybe 9 guys you trust the most and you kind of ride with those. So this is kind of an audition in many ways for some of those guys that would kind of be on the fringe of that discussion when it comes time to kind of make those decisions. I think what's going to go into that is matchups and just kind of how guys play this month and just a feeling from the coaching staff which guys can help them be most successful. But I just don't see any way against, you know, Florida State or Wisconsin that Indiana, once Devontae Green's back, they're not going to go 11 deep. They're going to go 8 or 9 at the most deep, in my opinion.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. IU basketball, always the topic when Alex is with us. Let's talk about the schedule too, Alex. This month of November, nothing terribly fancy or sexy about it when it comes to opponents, as we see Purdue taking on Texas and then going to Marquette last night. None of that right now for Indiana. That will come later in the month of December. But I do think somewhat starting with Saturday's game against Troy at home and definitely starting the following week with Princeton at home, followed by Louisiana Tech, obviously at home as well. I think the schedule ramps up a bit. It started with Western Illinois, who was maybe about as low on the totem pole as you could get, but definitely going to ramp up here a bit in advance of a tough month of December for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I've started a little bit to look at Troy there. I mean, the computers, they're not much different than these first three teams, but I agree with you. I mean, Princeton, you know, is at least a program that has historically had some decent teams, and they're obviously better than these first four opponents. And then Louisiana Tech, I think, is right now in the top 100 of Ken Pom, so that will be kind of the first, I don't want to say real game for Indiana, but, they, you know, that to me it's almost like the first time that we're going to see a team that could maybe challenge them and give them some problems. So I'm curious to see that. But I think the final of those non-conference games is South Dakota State, and they've historically had some pretty good teams. So I'm looking forward to, you know, there's these four games, and then Florida State comes. So it's kind of easy to look ahead, but Indiana, the other thing that you can kind of look at from a non-conference perspective is Indiana can't really afford to overlook any of these games. We saw what happened to Kentucky, obviously, earlier this week, losing to Evansville. Anything can happen. There's already been some crazy upsets in college basketball. It feels like a year of a lot of parity around the country. So Indiana, as much as the players may be expecting, you know, just to kind of be able to go out there and beat these teams, they actually have to go out and play more complete performances, I think, over these next four games. Because, you know, if they play like they did in the first half against North Alabama, against a team like Louisiana Tech, they could find themselves in a precarious situation a lot sooner than they expect.
Some of the players that we've talked about a number of times, Jerome Hunter and Demezi Anderson, at mm-hmm. times at least, have made me feel good sitting there in front of the TV. I thought Jerome stepped up with a couple of threes and just looked very comfortable in that last game. Same with Demezi Anderson. He doesn't look like a newborn colt just running wild out there anymore. Seems to understand what he's supposed to be doing. Seems to be more letting the game come to him. And when he has something to either drive to the basket or an open shot, seems comfortable taking that shot. Is it just wishful thinking on my part, or are you seeing some of this too, where they just look much more comfortable out there?
Yeah, I see it more with Jerome than Demezi right now. Yeah, I don't know what Demezi's role is going to be once kind of the meat of the schedule rolls around. He did play well the last game. I just wonder about him defensively. I try to – some of these games where the outcome is, you know, pretty apparent by early in the second half, I try to watch things like away from the ball, watch what guys are doing position-wise and kind of watch their awareness and kind of how they're rotating in the pack line and kind of their knowledge of the concepts that they kind of need to have down. And Demezi, to me, still kind of seems, at least defensively, that he's, I don't want to say behind other guys, but he's still kind of learning and getting used to things. So that, to me, is kind of the biggest factor. We know he can shoot. We know he can score. Is he going to be able to play well enough defensively to stay in the rotation? To me, that's the only way we get the answer to that is, let's see how he plays the rest of the month. And if he gets a chance against a team like Florida State, how does he perform? I mean, that's, to me, where Archie Miller and the staff is not going to negotiate. Guys have to play defense, or they're not going to play. Jerome Hunter is different in that he didn't play at all last year. He's coming off an injury, so you kind of have it built into your mind that he's going to have a ramping up period, and it's only fair to, you know, right now expect that, you know, improvement every game from him is going to be something that you hope can happen for him. But he's also going to have his moments where you say this is his first year playing basketball and he sat out a whole year. But he's been impressive because, you know, he can definitely shoot the ball when he's kind of gets his feet set and gets lined up. I think he's hit 3 3-pointers over the last 2 games, which has been a pretty solid number for him. And he's just a guy, I think, that can create mismatch problems offensively. If he's got someone smaller on him, he can get down in the post and post up. We've seen that a couple times early in the first couple games, and we've also seen him hit from the perimeter. And I just think the way you can kind of listen to the coach after the game and what they say about certain guys, and it kind of maybe gives you a clue as to what they think about them in terms of moving forward. And Jerome, you can tell Archie's excited about him. He's talked about how kind of the path they were on with him last year before he was injured. The fact that he's very coachable, to me that stood out, what he said in terms of just Jerome's willingness to listen and get better. You know, he talked about him, you know, he's just a guy that's constantly kind of soaking up information and getting better, using what he's told to kind of get better. I think they're excited about Jerome Hunter. I think, you know, best case scenario, he's going to be a guy that you see the minutes continue to climb. I think he got 20 the last game. If they can get him to be someone that's playing regularly 25, 27 minutes a game, I think that's a huge thing for this Indiana team moving forward.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, always with us Thursdays to talk IU basketball. Alex, thanks for the chat. The season is here. Lots of stuff to think about with this Indiana team roster and schedule moving forward, and we appreciate having you each Thursday with us to break it all down.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great day. Thank you.
We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Lee and I will wrap up some other area headlines for the day as well. Don't forget, the show is brought to you by CC Power Sports, and Christmas is coming. Every child's dream is a new dirt bike for Christmas at CC Power Sports. They're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage now through December. Simply put down a deposit and pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dreams of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can visit ccpowersports.com for more information on this upcoming Christmas deal. To a break we go. Back to wrap things up on this Thursday show. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for All the small schools never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final quick segment as we wrap up this Thursday program. Lee, we've got a lot of radio time ahead of us today. 3 hours tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. We'll be out at Zaxby's in New Albany for high school basketball media day. The News and Tribune a part of that as well. All 12 schools with coaches and top players a part of that as well tonight. I think Coach Hoffman bringing along a name that a lot of IU-oriented listeners will be interested to hear from, Trey Kaufman. Expected to join us tonight as we'll talk with him not just about what the recruiting process has been like, but this upcoming year for Silver Creek, who is one of the headline teams for sure in the area. But great tonight to spend, I think we're going to get about 15 minutes with each school, maybe a couple minutes less, but we'll really be able to dig into some of the storylines that we all know about, some of the players we all know about, but also to some of the teams maybe that aren't getting the early attention right now that maybe a Silver Creek or a Jeffersonville is that have some noteworthy players and are gearing up for maybe some successful moments themselves here over the next few months.
Yeah, obviously some of our local schools had outstanding years last year led by Silver Creek State Championship, but a lot of the other schools struggled last year, did not have the kind of year they normally have. It'll be interesting to talk to the coaches and players and find out about who's back, who's going to lead them, and what expectations they have for the coming season. Really looking forward to it. Love high school basketball and following these young people, and it gives me an opportunity to put a face with a name for as far as the players go.
One more plug about tonight's Media Day show. Again, it's 3 hours from 6 to 9 p.m. There are a number of ways that you can participate, that you can listen to the show. Number one is come on out to Zaxby's in New Albany. The food is terrific. You can sit and listen and greet and meet and greet with maybe your favorite school that you follow in the area. Join us for the whole time or stop by for just a part of the show while you have dinner. Also, radio 1450 AM, 96.1 FM. That's pretty obvious here on the Big X. We're streaming. If you know somebody out of the area that loves high school hoops and wants to tune in or hear family or friends on the radio that might join us tonight, BigXSportsRadio.com is where they can go. Also, search WXVW in the TuneIn app. You can listen free that way as well, or you can just simply call a number and listen to whatever's on our airwaves. Area code 563-999-3250. Again, 563-999-3250. High school basketball media day tonight, 6 to 9 p.m. We're going to open up talking about some of the headlines going into the season, talking about some of the top players going into the season as well. Then after that, it's coach to coach to coach and players mixed in as well. 12 schools, 12 coaches, and 24-plus players, two from each school, are scheduled to join us tonight in our program. Hope you can join us, and if you can't be with us live at Zaxby's or on the radio, we'll have it available later tonight as a podcast as well. Have a great Thursday. Join us tonight, and I'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.